This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
That is Joe Mazzulla after a loss last night and during the break, a 781 texter on the Subaru of New England text line suggesting that we have been downplaying the importance all morning long of a Celtics loss last night. Maybe excusing it away with the absence of Jalen Brown or Kristaps Porzingis. They go on and on here, but a less talented basketball team came into your arena and beat you is essentially a summation of what that texture is.
Maybe Wiggy's guy should, change things up a little bit earlier and they wouldn't have scored 14 points or whatever it was in the second quarter.
You mean the greatest coach in the NBA?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you need your others to play well.
I mean, Jason Tatum shot 50% from the field.
That's why I said,
why isn't he shooting more?
That's your others. Your others didn't play well.
Derek White played fine.
Derek White played great.
But I don't think
maybe Jalen Brown was the MVP rightfully.
That long three that he had at the end of that game, the fourth quarter, was he played great.
Right, but Derek White's not an other. I'm talking about, like, you needed P. Pritch.
Well, put it all on Peyton Pritchard.
No, but
you've done it all
this
morning.
He's been one of your best offensive six-man players. We were literally just talking, and he struggled. He had a game where he was, he shot, 3-for-11 from three-point land. He had a game where his field goal percentage was 5 of 16 or something like that.
It doesn't sound like you're describing the MVP of the NBA.
Who's the MVP of the NBA? Got you over 30. Got you
right. The others for all MVPs of my lifetime have never been the story when the team's MVP fails.
Well, yeah,
it's always about the best player, especially in basketball.
He did not fail. He had over a 30 burger. But
if I'm the coach, the guy's hot. Feed him the ball more. Why is he sitting out for four minutes?
And he carried your team, got you in a position where you were only, at one point in time, you were up in the game, late in the game.
No, I mean, listen, coming back, being down, they were down 10 at half because they got the buzzer beater at halftime, Golden State. And then you had the 41-point third quarter.
Right.
And you're back in that game.
Right.
But I think Shime's argument is that that's a game last night that you need your coach. There are not a lot of them in the NBA, but that's one where you need your coach to give you that something that helps you win that basketball game.
And your team MVP, we always talk about him. We don't want him taking stupid, dumb shots when he's double-teamed, and he created a lot of opportunity to get guys good open looks.
He only had 2 assists last night.
No, but a lot of them were the hockey assists, too, where you get doubled and then
the hockey assist.
Yeah, well, you run a double at him. What do you want, him hawking up shots?
Don't give actual stats.
I mean, the guy shot 50% from the field. Yes, I want him to shoot more. If I'm the head coach, I'm designing plays and scenarios where Jason Tatum gets open more, and he didn't do that.
Shime, Tatum shot a bunch. The reason why they lost this game is simple. When they were down by 4 late,
a bunch. Derek White shot like 6 more threes than he did.
When he shot 10 three-pointers.
Shot 16, Peyton Pritchard shot 11.
He was 5 of 10 from three-point land. He was 50%.
I know, and he should have been shooting it more.
No, the problem was when they were close at the end, They gave up way too many offensive rebounds, which then led to second chance points by Golden State.
But you understand what Shime's saying.
Shime's saying, no, I have no idea what Tatum's saying.
Because he was on point last night. They should be taking more shots. He should be taking more threes because they're falling.
But listen, they were feeding him. When they're running doubles at your best player, you don't want your best player taking stupid shots.
Then as the coach, you need to design ways to get him open.
No, you don't bench him.
But he did.
No, he gave him his normal rest that he gives him in the fourth quarter.
But when he's hot, to put him on the bench for 4 minutes is such a dumb call,
but
in my
opinion. But if you watch the game, they were running doubles, and they were trying to work pick and rolls with Jason Tatum. But they were still, and even Steve Kerr, you could see them, as soon as Tatum got the ball, he's yelling at the players, go get him.
Yeah, but then he should have been, so what Mazzulla should have been doing is having him work more off the ball.
What should have been happening is the guys that when Tatum was then getting the ball to, they got to make those shots.
Yeah, I mean, listen, they're 7-2, so right. They were bound to lose a game or two this season.
Right.
I guess the argument is from the texter that they want an overreaction when it comes to this team losing a game like
I'm not going to do it.
Like they lost last
night. Shine's an overreaction. Like, Tatum wasn't your issue.
I never said he was. I'm saying he was so good they should have been giving him the ball more.
He had the ball more, but he's not going to take dumb shots. The issue was,
I'm not telling him to take dumb shots.
Listen, the issue was the fact that your others that you needed that generally play well for you had a bad night.
I think the issue could also be that you really miss Jalen Brown.
Oh, of course you do.
Jalen Brown is not available.
Yeah, I mean, well, you know that. You know if you don't have this.
But Curtis brought it up this morning. From a, if you want to call it the alpha perspective or whatever.
I ain't got nothing to do with it, man. We passed the alpha perspective. That's just a low hanging, stupid conversation argument to have.
It's really hurtful.
Oh, no, it is, though.
I think Curtis is stupid.
What's,
I try and respect
you. If Jalen Brown's on the court, he's your second best player, so you're a much better basketball team.
Greg, if we're going to be honest about the whole thing, Wiggy was disrespectful of Jalen Brown at the start of the season, saying Mazzulla was more important to the team than Jalen Brown. Last night, I just would present for the evidence of the jury, I dispute Wiggy's premise highly.
Yeah.
That is all.
But I think
you are literally on drugs if you think the team would be in a better place without Jalen Brown.
I didn't say they'd be in a better place. You said if I had to choose between the two.
So wouldn't you want to be in a better place if you're choosing? What do you mean?
No. You said because we were having the
Right. If you had to choose between the two,
which one puts you
in a better place?
No. I said I would probably go with Mazzulla because
you didn't say probably. You were all in
I said
on Mazzulla.
I would go with Mazzulla because you could get another guy.
Right,
but he might not be as talented as Jalen Brown.
We don't think that's the correct answer.
Right. And I said, but that's fine. But my opinion is you could get another guy and Mazzulla could get the best out of
it.
508 texter says you are making excuses and the Golden State Warriors are continuing to rent space in the Celtics' heads.
I'm not making excuses. You lost the game where you had an opportunity to win that game, but you lost it because of your poor defensive rebound late in the game. You lost it because early in the game, you weren't able to hit shots. Your best player was cold early. He turned it on. Your sixth man that you expect to have good games night in and night out, your secondary scorer, he had a bad night. That's why you lost the game. And the others on the other team, Gary Payton Jr., Buddy Hill, those guys turn.
So let me ask you a question. When it comes to Olympic playing time, do you think that Steve Kerr left here feeling like he made a mistake or that his decision was justified?
No, I think Steve Kerr thought his decision was justified as soon as he made that decision through the whole Olympics.
Do you think the performance of Jason Tatum and the Celtics last night backed that up for him?
No, because Jason Tatum's performance alone would have been like, why wouldn't you play a guy like that who shoots 50% from three-point land, who goes out and scores 30 and shoots 50% from the field? Why wouldn't you be playing him in the Olympics? That just don't make sense.
This is Mike from Brockton. Hello, Mike.
Hey, good morning.
What's up?
I don't know who said that. I don't know. Maybe I misheard it, but they said Jason Tatum was the problem last night. Last year.
Nobody said that.
What was his? Okay. I just wanted to make sure I heard it. I didn't hear that. Couple things. Last year, what was his biggest criticism last year?
He couldn't.
What was the biggest criticism?
And like he didn't have the killer mentality? Didn't finish or something?
Or when the lights were too bright, he would screw up.
That was the bottom of it. The main thing was he takes dumb shots, and he takes too many shots, ill-advised shots. Now, when he's starting to try to play, when he's getting others involved, well, you should have shot the ball. Some of that, last night, I put a lot out on Missoula. One of the big things that really bothered me last night was the last four or five possessions of that game, the last 3 to 4 minutes of that game. They scored, but they couldn't get stops. Why? Because Quaita was on the floor. They kept attacking him in pick and roll. If you got Steph, Steph did the same thing to him in the championship year that they won. Steph did the same thing on Al Horford. They searched out Al Horford in pick and roll. Al Horford kept getting switched on him, and that's dead island. Either he's gonna shoot it, or he's gonna beat you off the dribble, get in the lane, kick the ball out to an open scorer, or finish. He did that to Quaita the last 3 to 4 possessions of that game. So
that's
and I'm screaming.
You're saying what? That's Missoula.
Missoula. That was Missoula last night at the end of that game.
Yeah, I would agree with Mike on that one. Yeah. I would agree with it because there was a ton of pick and rolls where Quaita did how it was playing Steph Curry, and Steph Curry was just cooking them. But I guess it's like, all right, if you take Quaita out, then you lose some of that size when it comes to rebounds and then blocking shots. Then who becomes the guy that can maybe defend? Oh, here's what I would have did. I would have ran the double at Steph and took the ball out of his hands and made other guys beat me. Well, kind of like they did what they were taking.
But if your best player, your superstar, has his first points of the fourth quarter with 3 minutes left, that's either on him or it's on Joe Mazzulla when it comes to playing time.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, and
but that's, I think it was on him because he was missing shots. It was like missing shots. So it's not like you're not taking shots, you're just missing shots.
And his explanation is that he never embraced the whole revenge thing and he doesn't want to, you know, he never bought into that and that's not who he is. And so
he said that. But see, that's the problem. People want Tatum to be something he ain't. They want him to have this,
I think. Some fans wanted him to embrace last night as an opportunity to go out there and show up Steve Kerr. Absolutely.
They want him to be louder. They want him to be this.
No, Wiggy, this is the moving
of
the goalpost.
If they win this game, it's not the moving of the goalpost.
It is. Because
if they win this game, don't people then go, great by Tatum to show up Steve Kerr?
Yeah.
Absolutely. But I don't think my issue, Wiggy, with the back and forth on this is that you have been very vocal.
Uh-huh.
That...
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
Jason Tatum is the MVP of the NBA, and he is disrespected.
Yes.
Do I have that right?
Yep.
So when the others aren't performing, what needs to happen to win a game? If you're the MVP of the NBA.
You got to try to carry your team the best
and
way
so
you can.
It's not saying that he sucks not good. But, it's just that if you think you're the MVP of the NBA, then you should be able, in the fourth quarter, against a team like the Warriors, take the game over as other MVPs do
in
other
seasons. But the problem is, when you look at, if you're going to go down that road, every team on MVPs, they have help from their others, even when the game, because guess what? When you're that good at the end of games, they're going to take the ball out of your hands. And that's what Golden State did last night. I'll give Steve Kerr credit for that. He said, Jason Tatum ain't beating us. He gets the ball, we're running two guys at him.
Well, didn't you just say, though, that if you were Joe Mazzulla, you would have taken the ball out of Steph Curry's hands?
Yeah.
So you're saying Joe Mazzulla didn't do his job last night?
Yes, I said at the end of the game he didn't. Well,
and, Wiggy, you said that when Jalen's in there, he gets double-teamed anyway. So what's the difference?
He does get double-teamed.
You just said
and then Jalen makes shots.
Okay.
So what are you two missing that I ain't saying that I haven't been saying?
Because I originally came at you that Joe Mazzulla was not good in last night's game, and you kept defending him, and now all of a sudden you're saying he wasn't good.
No, I defended him. And I said, at the end of the game, I agree he made the mistakes.
Greg, my question for you simply.
Yes.
That's when you know you want an argument, Courtney. Because when you when
no, I'm just so befuddled I can't respond.
When you say
you're just jumping over the fence left and right. Like it's just like pick a side.
No, no, I've been on the same side since the beginning of the show.
Wiggy, if he's the one making mistakes, then it's Joe Mazzulla's
fault. He made mistakes at the end of the game.
Yes, and that was my whole point. And did was defend him for like 10 minutes.
No, your whole point was that Mazzulla was making mistakes all game long.
So you don't think Kerr out-coached Mazzulla last
He out-coached him
he
in the
did.
Last...
So Mazzulla only made bad mistakes.
Then we can all agree on that.
Yes. But I agree with that. I said in the last 5 minutes of the game, the caller said, he did out-coach him because Steve Kerr said, we're running a double, where Mazzulla was like, we're not going to do that. We're going to switch the pick and roll,
That game ended. Steve Kerr was out of timeouts. Joe Mazzulla had plenty left.
They had one timeout because Steve Kerr used his final timeout on the out-of-bounds play at the end of the game where Draymond Green couldn't get the ball.
Hey, can I call a quick 20-second timeout?
Yes.
All right. No TV timeout here. Just a quick one. Wiggy. So you said Jason Tatum gets double-teamed.
Yes.
And then he throws the ball to Jaylen Brown.
Other players.
Okay. To Jaylen Brown, the second best player on the team.
Or the other players, I said. Go ahead.
No, you didn't. You just said Jaylen Brown, but that's okay.
No. If you listen, Curtis, what you're trying to do.
Well, but you're wrong on this.
I'm not wrong.
So you'd rather Joe Mazzulla than the guy that hits the open shot.
Are we going back down to Joe Mazzulla?
It makes no sense to me. I'm not sighing, and I love you. You look very nice in that shirt.
No, but you're going back. This is like you're morphing into the Joe Mazzulla, Jaylen Brown thing like you morph into blaming on Belichick.
Oh, God, I'm good at politics.
I had said, yes, that's my opinion.
Okay, let's go around the room. Greg, what do you think? Mazzulla or Jaylen Brown more important?
Jaylen Brown is more important.
Courtney Cox to Torre.
Jaylen Brown.
Chris Shimaracnid.
That would be Jaylen Brown.
Okay. So how is that making your point?
It's not. It's just fun.
No. But if you're going to have a conversation, then at least say, when I said they ran a double at him, he gets the ball out of his hands, whether it's Jaylen Brown or other players. Okay. Then you go right back to going, we could have a conversation 7 months down the road.
Yeah.
And you'll go.
Listen, back to the original question. 9 games in.
Right.
They've lost 2. 1 at home.
Yes.
Are you at all any tiny bit of concern?
No,
injuries.
But the argument is like if we're arguing in the moment about certain things.
Joe Mazzulla, hot seat.
No, I'm cool with that. I'm cool with that. The problem is Curtis. He'll go back 9 months and say, "Well, so you still take Jaylen Brown or Joe Mazzulla?" Yeah. We're talking about in the moment.
Okay,
in the moment.
Right. Well.
You got to expand. You know, you got to expand your
horizon.
You got to expand your argument.
Range?
Knowledge guns. You got to have more than just one gun with the same bullet.
Curtis is big on leading questions.
We had this argument briefly at the start of the show. We had it again a little bit during leads. And if you missed either of those, a reminder that you can always go back and listen to anything that you may have missed on this show on the Odyssey app. So you can rewind. You can even rewind and relive it again.
Well, that's what Curtis does every argument. It was Brady. It was Bill's fault. So you want Brown over. You want Mazzulla over Brown.
Yeah. All right.
I mean, we literally could be talking about Kristaps Porzingis.
Curtis is living in a rewind.
He is a one bullet assassin.
Well, that means I got a great shot.
No, it means you got that's the only shot.
Is he a one trick pony?
That is it.
He is.
That is it. Yeah. And we know what the pony does.
All right. Download the Odyssey app, AUDACY. Then you can listen to us from wherever you want at any time.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC's senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.